From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Daniel chapter 2, Daniel 2 verse 1, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. This is the origination of cheating on tests right here. Bunch of cheaters. Verse 5, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Now skip down to verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Over the past few weeks of studying the book of Daniel, we've been talking about high impact living. Chapter 2, we'll touch on the subject of wisdom and having answers to the world's questions. But how sad it is for a Christian to live without any impact at all in this life. You look at stories in the Bible, like the story of Lot and the city of Sodom, and Abram thought that surely Lot would have lived with enough impact to have won several to Christ, or at least to believe in God. But that's why Abraham stopped short at 10, thinking that Lot had some kind of impact, and he didn't, none at all. Hard to believe there are Christians who work in a job, retire after 30 years, 40 years, the same company, the same job, around the same people, having never, ever reached anybody with the gospel of Christ, without leaving a legacy, without going public with their faith. We talk about high-impact living. We're talking about pointing men from false belief to true belief in God. But here's what we see in Daniel chapter 2. You see the king of the world's greatest empire, Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says, verse 1, his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Here's a troubled man. Now we're talking about someone who was the most wealthy and powerful and well-known leader of his generation. Here he is, extremely troubled. You know, it's hard for us to comprehend when we drive by and see people with this kind of wealth, especially in Austin, Texas, and the homes they live in, and the cars they drive, and imagine all the problems behind the scene. This world lives troubled. We know the majority of the people in this world live troubled, is filled with troubled people. You see the insecurity of an unsafe man. You deal with that in your work setting. You deal with that on a daily basis. And you see people who try to put on a smile, but inside they're hurting, and that's caused by a multitude of factors. Sometimes that's health. Sometimes it's politics, and sometimes it's just the troubles that are taking place around the world. Sometimes it's caused by news. Sometimes it's caused by debt or marital problems, a problem with their children. But this world lives troubled, and when we're talking about high-impact living, in order to make an impact, you've got to have some answers. And it's incredible to think that the world is out there crying for answers, and Christians are silent when they have the answer at least available. Now, we're going to get to this in a minute, but there is a God in heaven that does have answers, and if you don't have the answer at the moment, you should be able to get the answer from your God. And here's what I want you to understand tonight. We're talking about a special dream that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar as he began to work in his heart and tried to humble him and bring him to a knowledge of an almighty God. God would use Daniel in his presence. But what we see in this chapter is that God is a revealer of secrets, and God is a God of answers, and too many Christians are living without answers. And we can't make an impact on society if we live as troubled as they do. And a Christian that is not on his knees and not walking with God and trying to duplicate how a Christian falls into the trap of the world, believing that wisdom is a product of knowledge. And that maybe if I study enough and read enough books and get a degree and a master's and a doctorate, somehow that accumulated wealth of knowledge will make me wise. There is no knowledge outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and outside of this book. And Christians are not making an impact because there's not enough wisdom found in Christians. It is available, just not received. And that's what I want you to see tonight. And here's what takes place. Nebuchadnezzar is troubled and he can't sleep. What a miserable state. He reaches out to people that are supposed to have the answers. Verse 2, then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. Magicians were supposed to be the revealers of secrets. Astrologers, men that studied the stars and the planets, thinking that somehow that would guide them. And here's what they tell the king in verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Now, any of us can take a dream and give the revelation because we're all connivers, we're all schemers, and we all consider ourselves to be wise. But if a man comes up to you and says, I not only want you to reveal the meaning of that dream, I want you to tell me what I dreamed, now you have found yourself in a bad spot. There's no way to fake that. So the truth is about ready to be revealed, but he's reaching out to people that are supposed to have answers, and this world's reaching out. Listen, that's why psychologists and psychiatrists are a dime a dozen. Hard to believe that those people can charge $200 a session. You know, when I hear those kind of numbers, I thought, man, why have I not been charging people for the... I help eliminate debt, reconcile marriages, and give child-rearing advice... and never charged a dime. I've got to get on the ball and figure out a proper price. I imagine I'd be happy $50 a session. Say, I'll give you a discounted rate of $49.95. And he's desperate. And he goes to these professionals, but the professionals don't have any answers. Now, they were truthful in their response. Look what it says in verse 11. They said, it's a rare thing that the king required, and there's none other that can show it before the king, except the gods. Now, they didn't understand. They didn't understand the God in heaven, but they did understand they were helpless and there was divine intervention needed. And guess what? This world may deny God. You may meet an occasional atheist, but at the end of the day, when people are in trouble, when people find themselves in the hospital, when people are going through a tragedy, when people are suffering on this level, suddenly they're turning to God, a God they don't know. It may be a false God. It may be the Mormon God or the Muslim God. It may be the God of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And we don't all serve the same God. We're talking about Jehovah God, but they're not looking to Jehovah God. They just realize they need a higher power involved in their life. Now, how is it that these people in their state of confusion don't know a higher power? But we as Christians, we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've read his book. We've received his instructions. We've seen our lives changed. Yet we're not helping provide this world with answers. And God says, I'm putting you in their path to help them. Give them peace. Provide them answers. An average Christian. Now, here's the root issue and the most serious problem to consider. If you don't have a personal walk with God, you're not going to have answers. Although you're saved and you have the answer to your destiny and know what it takes to get eternal life, you understand that. But if your walk with God is not right and your relationship with this book is not constant, you're going to find yourself in spots where the world is asking questions and you can't answer. And Daniel actually found himself in this spot. When Arioch came, he was coming to kill Daniel. That's why he knocked on his door. I'm coming here to fulfill the king's decree. He said, if we cannot interpret his dream and tell him what he dreamed, I'm supposed to cut off your head and make your house a dunghill. That was my job. You know what? If someone came to you and said, here's my problem, I need a solution. If you can't provide me a solution, I'm going to kill you and make your house a dunghill. I bet you'd get serious about coming up with some kind of solution. Some Christians that haven't prayed in months, maybe years, suddenly find themselves on their face before God trying to come up with a solution. It's amazing how satisfied we are to go through life without solutions to serious problems. And I'm not talking about financial problems, although those need solutions as well. This world is full of marital problems, child-rearing problems, health problems. They can't sleep at night. Addictions. They're dealing with their past. Pain and heartache and heartbreak. And you're looking, listen, if you just take a look at what this world has suffered and what they've lived through and what they've had to deal with, and you're trying to pick up the pieces, you do not have an answer. You do not have a solution. But I am telling you, there is a God in heaven that does have an answer, that does have a solution. And outside of divine intervention, there is no solution. So as Christians, we ought to desire to have some kind of impact. And here's where we see Daniel. He's a teenager. That's what's so amazing about this story. He is still in his teens. And here he is standing before a king, revealing the deep things, the secret things, the hidden things. Because those things are revealed by God. But if a Christian is not maintaining his relationship with God, he will not know, he will not answer any better than the world does.
That's right.
I'm thankful for technology. I'm thankful, you know, nowadays, you got to be careful about getting an argument because all people have to do is pull out a phone and they can confirm the information in a second. That's a date or a name or a time in history or a Super Bowl champion. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. You go online, look at Wikipedia, and you can come up with the answer in a matter of seconds. But this world needs solutions that aren't found online. He said, I need you to reveal my thoughts and then provide me with an answer to this dream. If you do, I'll pay you handsomely. And this world is willing to pay handsomely to get some kind of answer. Why do you think your health care costs so much? Because people won't have problems and they're looking for answers and they're paying thousands of dollars to find answers. And many never find answers. So the king says, if you can't come with an answer, I'm just going to kill you. Look at his response to their response. He says in verse 9, if you can't do this, ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me. Now that's the truth. You don't need to misspend money on a psychologist to figure out there's a lot of lying. And corruption means there's money behind what's going on here. We're probably going to have to take 12 to 25 sessions to work our way through this. You do the math. Yeah, I'm needing $2,500 to take care of my mortgage this month, so you and a few other clients are going to be able to help me with that. So probably we're not going to fix this. They don't want to fix this in three sessions. They don't want to get to the root of the problem. They want to keep digging around and create more problems and get you to come up with things that never even happened in your past and find things that never existed and get you confused so they can charge you more money. He said, you've prepared lying, corrupt words. And verse 12, so when they said, hey, listen, this is nearly impossible. I don't know if we can do this. He said, not a problem. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious. He commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Just kill them all. Now, this is what we call an overreaction. If you can't help me, I'm going to behead you, rip down your house, I'll make it a dunghill. The world is typically overreacting. Much of their problems and looking for answers in their problems. Daniel was not an overreactor, but someone that acted wisely. And that's what we saw in verse 14, that Daniel answered with counsel and with wisdom. Now, here's what happened. When these men had no answers, the king suddenly adds a little bit of pressure to their life by saying, I'm going to kill you, make your house dunghill, kill your family. And so now they're troubled. Now, folks, if you think you deal with pressure, can you imagine someone telling you, if you can't tell me what I dreamed last night, I'm going to slit your throat and raise your house. So, 10, 9, 8. That's pressure. This world is under serious pressure. Can you imagine going through what you've gone through in life without God, without Christian brethren, without a support team like we have at Capital City Baptist Church, without the loving kindness of other Christians, without help and counselors and family? And there's a lost world out there, and this ought to fill us with compassion. There's a lost world out there that's dealing with amazing problem, and it's everything from sickness to debt to family tragedy to divorce to children and their addictions and just absolute disaster, and they're trying to do it without God.
That's right.
Now, if that doesn't break your heart, if you can't reach out in any kind of compassion and try to help provide them an answer. Yes. I know most of the world doesn't want to look to God for the answer. God is the answer.
Amen.
But we at least ought to be compassionate enough to go in the name of Christ and help provide for them a solution. That's how we make an impact on a lost and dying world. We think that church growth comes through Saturday soul winning. I'm going to tell you a little secret. That's not the way churches grow. And if we have a prison ministry, that's not the way churches grow. And if we have ministries in outreach across our city and in nursing homes and retirement centers and surely club ministry, those are not ministries that grow the church. You know what grows a church? High-impact Christians that have answers to a world that's in crisis. We're going to see Daniel's impact not just on this king, but on this kingdom, because he had answers. But the average Christian living this day and age doesn't even care about the world and is not concerned about helping them answer questions. As Christians, we've kind of shut ourselves up in our own self-centered world and said, I know you got problems, but if you leave me alone for a minute, because it's not Saturday morning, it's not 10 o'clock, it's not a designated time, I don't want to deal with you. You irritate me. I imagine that Daniel could save Nebuchadnezzar, that he was an irritation. Look what it says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 27. Daniel knew that these men couldn't give the answers. That's impossible. Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king? That's impossible. But there was a man that had an answer. And here's what I like. When Arioch brings him, verse 25, Daniel to the king, then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said to him, I have found a man. I have a man here that has answers. You know what? There ought to be someone that can go in your place of work, in your school, whatever area of influence God has put you in, and say, we have a man in this company that has answers to life problems. He's not distraught. He's not distressed. He's not frustrated with the politics. His life isn't upside down. His marriage isn't falling apart. His kids haven't gotten addicted to drugs and alcohol, had never been involved in DWI. His kids aren't in jail. He isn't pulling his hair out over his family situation. He's not found himself in extreme debt. His life is together. He comes in happy. He's got some answers.
Amen.
This world ought to know that we have answers.
Amen.
Now, if they see you as gloomy, as frustrated, as pressured, as stressed as they are, well, tell me that makes sense. Tell me with the book that we have, the Holy Spirit that we have, and the Father that we have, and the destiny that we have, and the church family that we have, and the hope that we have, that there's a reason that we live as stressed as this world lives. Now, let me ask you this tonight. Whatever kingdom God has put you in, whatever place of business, whatever work God has provided for you, are you having any impact at all on the lost and dying world that you're in touch with? What if we interviewed those that work with you? Would anybody say, that man, high impact. That man has made a difference. That woman obviously has some answers. That person knows something about solutions and doesn't live surrounded in their problems. Or they say, no, he's just like us. I think he has just as many problems as we do, or probably more. He's more solemn. He's more serious. He's more frustrated. He's more pressured. He's more stressed. He's more irritated. Here's what we see Daniel do. Daniel immediately says in verse 28, there is a God in heaven. Now, Daniel went to a different source than the rest of these men did. This is heavenly knowledge. This is biblical wisdom. He understood that God was a revealer of secrets. Verse 19, look what Daniel says. Let's back up to verse 17. Let's see first what Daniel does. He, knowing that God is a revealer of secrets, verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire the mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret. Daniel was a man of prayer that surrounded himself with men of prayer that provides wisdom. Daniel was the sort of man that prayed on a regular basis in his house. So this wasn't anything out of the ordinary. He said, we're used to praying, used to coming up with solutions. I'm going to talk to my three buddies, my three companions, and we're going to go pray. Daniel knew it wasn't anything to do with his education. Verse 30, look what he says. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have. Boy, when you get to this place in your life, when you realize it's so many, even independent fundamental Baptist Christians somehow think that their wisdom is a result of their experience in life. And I'm not against experience. And I know that at this age, if you're 45 or 50 or 60 or 65, you have much more wisdom than someone that's 25 because of experience. But we ultimately know God is the provider of wisdom. Even though you may have a lot of experience, there are some secrets in life that the older and the longer that we live, the more we understand that there are just a lot of things in life we don't know. And those things that we thought we knew about marriage or about child rearing, or it's amazing all the answers that we had. It's amazing how much I knew about pastoring before I pastored. It's called growing and knowing that God is the one that has to reveal the next step, the words you're supposed to say, how you handle this problem. And when you go out on your own to deal with a situation, and this I see all the time among Christians, I'm going to race out and I'm going to fix this problem. And you won't. And you don't. It's a bigger mess, a bigger problem. And until we learn as Christians to immediately have not a reaction, but this action of falling on our face before God and saying, God, I need you to reveal this because to me it is a secret. Can anyone here honestly say, well, I basically know everything I need to know. I have all the answer, read the book several times. I pretty much got a corner on wisdom and I can help you out. I'll only charge $69.95 and pretty much marital problem, child rearing, any decision, financial, investment, whatever you got on your plate, I'll fix it. Christians, if we are not, here's what we're saying when we're not constant in prayer. I don't need God or His wisdom. I'll provide my own solutions. Now, I want you to think for a minute at your lifestyle and your prayer life, how much time you spend daily in prayer is a revelation of how much you truly believe you need God involved. So if you say, today, I'm only going to spend 5 minutes in prayer, you're saying, God, basically, I'm not going to need you. I don't have enough problems. Nothing is serious enough. Really, there's not anything happening today that you need to get involved in. But, you know, if you'll stay close just in case something goes bad tomorrow, you can help me out on that one. But for now, and those that'll go a day or 2 days or a week or a month and sometimes months, and prayer is an afterthought or ignored. There's a philosophy there that's saying, God, I've got life figured out. And the disasters that people make. And here's where the disaster is revealed. Not in a day, not in a month, not in a year, but in the future. our disasters and our decisions are revealed decades down the road. In our marriage, they're revealed. And we look back in life, and hindsight is 20/20. We think, boy, I made a mistake there. How much wiser we could have been had we simply fallen on our knees and said, there is a God in heaven that wants to reveal this. But God reveals those secret things when we are on our knees begging Him to give us special wisdom and understanding. Look what it says in these verses. Here's Daniel's praise after his prayer. Now, here's what I like about Daniel, this prayer. You see his original intention when he falls on his knees. Now, he's a regular in prayer. This is nothing unusual for him, but still, what drives him to his knees? Because Arioch, when he shows up at the house, says, I have come to kill you. The king has ordered me, commanded me, you are one of the wise men, you've signed up on the list, Daniel, so I've got to cut your throat and end your life. Daniel says in verse 15, is the decree so hasty? Don't you think we're acting a little bit hasty here? Let's time out, take a breather, think this over. He said, no, the king said, cut your head off. That's what I came to do. So he said, let me go ahead and would you just give me time to pray? That's normally the way I respond to this. Okay, I'll stand outside your door. Go ahead and pray for a few minutes. So here's his prayer request, verse 18, that they would desire mercies of God. Now, that would be a pretty good prayer request. So he immediately tells his three buddies, here, we're going to fall on our face before God and ask him to show mercy on us, because if not, we know that we should not lose our heads, but in this case, we're about ready to lose our heads. And Daniel and his fellows, what's it say? That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. So what? How does their prayer start? A little selfish. Have you ever found that to be the case when you go to pray? Now, here's the good thing. God uses these circumstances to drive us to our knees. But once we get on our knees and begin to pray, the next thing you knew, next thing you see in these verses, now they're beginning to pray for the salvation of the astrologers. I wonder how much praying they had done for the salvation of the astrologers before this decree was made. Now they're praying for their salvation. Now they're concerned for their souls and their lives. And they're praying that God would pour out wisdom, heavenly wisdom, a special revelation. Now I know this is Old Testament times, and I know there was a gift of knowledge. I understand that. You understand that. This is not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about you having heavenly wisdom. And to my great shock and surprise, I've realized this for the past few decades of preaching. The average Christian does not even care if he lives with or without God's divine wisdom. The average Christian has sorted out enough things in life, figured out enough in life to survive and sometimes thrive, without any supernatural intervention. Whether that's ministry or family or daily living or finances, I've pretty much got this under control enough. The God, you know, if you want to show up, great. If you don't, great. I'm pretty busy. Our time together is pretty limited. So once I finish with my daily obligations and my family, my work schedule, we'll try to get back with each other and work through this. But for now, hang tight. Our philosophy when it comes to God's wisdom, what we could have, what we could do, I've got three kids. I've never in my life begged for the wisdom of God like I have in the past year. And as Brother Kagan said the other day, it's strange how with each year the burdens of life just grow a little larger in your care for others. Begging God for supernatural wisdom. But to think we as Christians would honestly live so full of pride that we could ignore that need Because in our hearts, we know the only true source of wisdom is God. God actually puts a small requirement on the giving of wisdom and says, if you want it, it's available, but it comes through communication. So you talk to me and I'll talk to you. You reveal the problem, I'll reveal the solution. And we say, that's too difficult. My life is just too busy to go through the whole process. Now think about how many mistakes we've made with the revealer of secrets, with the author of all wisdom, right there saying, anytime you want to talk about this, anytime you want to talk. Now, this isn't setting up an appointment with a friend or with a coworker, with a pastor, with a psychologist, psychiatrist. This is the God of heaven saying, anytime you're free, I'm available. And if you want to know the answer to that, which is a secret right now, that problem has an answer, and I'll reveal it to you, but we've got to have a conversation. Because I'm not going to just put it in your mind. I'm not just going to put it in your heart while you willfully ignore me. But if you want to sit down and chat about this, I'll certainly be willing to give you the wisdom necessary to get through this problem. And you look brilliant. And Daniel did look brilliant. While the others were turning to the stars and the planets and their books, and the spiritist was turning to the demons, and they were all looking for a different source of wisdom and answers, Daniel was looking to God. Here's what he says in verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Isn't it funny? Every word in Scripture is so important. So the astrologer who was looking to the heavens, Daniel said, I'm going to look to the God that made the heavens. I'm not looking for the planets to align or the position of the stars. I'm talking to the maker of the planet. Verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He's the source. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth the kings, setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. And when you're there, you need someone that knows what is in the darkness. Have you ever been someplace without a light and it was dark, but you had someone that knew their way around? God knows his way around. He's got night vision. You know what man pays thousands of dollars to see green? God sees perfectly well. No difference between the darkness and the light. He revealeth the deep and the secret things. Verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me. Boy, as soon as you understand the wisdom is from God, you cannot have it without God opening your mind, providing you wisdom. And here's what you're going to see in this. You see the weakness of man, because when this dream is revealed, first of all, the most powerful king on the planet, the ruler of the world's empire, Babylon, he's clueless. And here's what this dream was about. You saw this great statue, and God is revealing there are four world empires. Babylon is the first of four, and then you have the Medo-Persian Empire, and then you have the Greek Empire, and then you have the Roman Empire. But in that, you know that the brass represented Alexander the Great, who was ruling at age 19, conquered the known world, undefeated in battle. Matter of fact, they still use his battle tactics in the universities today to teach. We're talking about someone that lived several thousand years ago. And God was revealing these empires and the fall of these empires, but how weak is man? Alexander the Great died at 32 in Nebuchadnezzar, in this palace. And if you read history, they fight over how he died, but most of them understand he was in a drunken stupor and drunk. Well, he might have been poisoned. He drunk himself to death at age 32. That's how feeble man is. The smartest tactician on the planet couldn't outsmart alcohol and died at 32. God was saying, Nebuchadnezzar, you're feeble. You're going to lose your throne. Man is feeble. The world's greatest empires will be destroyed. Oh, how we're reminded in this generation. The man that called himself the greatest of all time. Remember those fists of stone? Tony and I used to watch every boxing match, every Friday night, every Saturday night. We'd stay up late. Of course, after that, we'd pray our way into Sunday morning. Miss Monica would be providing the Mexican food. Boy, that was the golden age of boxing. It was a little bit after Ali. But the old people like Jay Vatt and Mike McDonald and the elderly, these guys watched Ali. But you look at these men, and now as Ali poses for a picture, can't even keep his hands from shaking. That's the greatness of man. And you see the wisdom of God, because decades before these empires rose to power, God was predicting their rise and foretelling their future. Now, Christians, if I get you to leave here tonight with understanding one simple, basic truth, how desperately we need wisdom and how feeble our efforts are to have it when it's right there at our disposal. And that's good for our homes, and it's good for our marriages, and it's good for our ministry, and it's good for our problems. And how often do we see a lack of wisdom? A decision is made. Step in the wrong direction. Words are said. Children are permitted to do this. We handle a problem, and we've never spent even 5 minutes on our face before God. And there was one man in this kingdom that fell on his face as his custom was, and said, it's God that is the revealer of secrets. And here's the impact. Now, regrettably, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't saved at this moment, but there's a spiritual impact. And when we have wisdom, it impacts the world. In his immediate response, look at the king's immediate response, verse 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, saying that thou couldst reveal this. Now, you would think he'd gotten saved. You know, there's a lot of people. You're going to have an impact, and they're going to mention God. They're going to talk like they've actually gotten it, understood it. The lights come on. But if you read what comes before this verse or what comes after this verse, you understand he didn't get it. Not yet. Now, he's going to get it. But God's going to have to continue to work on his heart. Look at the verse preceding that, verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped who? Did he get it? You're not worshiping Daniel if you understand this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You'd worship him, not a man. And then in chapter 3, you see him setting up a statue of himself and commanding that everyone worship his image. Now, Nebuchadnezzar will get it. That's the importance of high-impact living that's consistent over time. Because we want one revelation of wisdom and the world to fall down and say, the Lord, he is God. Help me understand that the world's seen something and it's more like what happened 9-1-1, where people immediately turn to God, but not for salvation. Turn to God out of desperation. So regrettably, he didn't get saved. But Daniel did save hundreds of lives because of his wisdom. And look at the reward in verse 48. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And here's how you know he had a real position, because not only was he made chief of the governors, when Daniel requested that his three friends come along, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they be set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, the king listened and granted his request. It's one thing to give you someone to give you a position, but when you can bring three more people on board, now as Christians, we live in a city that's identified as being weird. And we help with that. We help. But how many of you are in agreement with your pastor tonight that Capital City Baptist ought to impact the 350 people in this church that call themselves regular members, ought to impact, have a positive impact, a great impact, a high impact, a lifelong impact in the businesses where we're employed, the schools, the universities, the places where we do business? Don't you think the capital city ought to be affected on some level because of this church, the people of this church? And most of you, many of you, have lived in your neighborhood, worked in that business, gone to that school, made friends where you buy groceries. But let me ask you this. Has there been any impact at all? This man fell and worshiped Daniel. Don't do that. This is the God of heaven. Daniel says, this is about me. The wise men don't have this kind of wisdom. But there is a God in heaven that is the revealer of secrets and the giver of wisdom. So what's James 1:5 saying? If any man lack wisdom, how many of us lack wisdom? Let him do what? Ask God. And how does God give? God's a liberal giver. God is a giver, a generous giver. And he said, if you ask me for wisdom, now how many of us here understand there's a world out there? We have children, we have coworkers, we have people that laugh at God and laugh at this book and laugh at our religion. And the only way to make an impact, a lasting impact, is to show great wisdom. And the only way to have that wisdom needed at the moment is to get it directly from God. And I'm going to tell you a secret. That's something more personal than what you receive here at church. I'll give you principles that will guide your life through this book and the teaching of God's Word. But if you want the wisdom, personal wisdom, for personal moments, because there are things you wouldn't reveal to anyone else in this auditorium, but you'd reveal it to God. And God says, I have an answer to that. Instead of running over on your own and creating a scandal while you try to fix it, and that's what Christians do. Well, I've got to go fix this. I've got to go talk to that brother. I've got to talk to that sister. I've got to correct that person. I've got to make it straight. If you hadn't done that, if you hadn't said it, if you'd get your child under control, let me tell you something about your ministry. And God says, whoa, that's not wisdom. I could help you out here. I could tell you how to deal with that. I don't know what to do with this child. God does. I don't have the answer, and neither does the judge, and neither does the parole board, and neither does the neighbor, and neither does your boss, and neither does the government. But there is a God in heaven that says, I can make you a high-impact Christian. You're going to have to talk to me, and then let me talk to you, because this is personal, and I'm not against seeking counsel, because you know the multitude of counselors are safety. We understand all that. Tonight, you understand the context of what is being said, but we don't have enough wisdom in Christianity because we don't have enough Christians on their face before God saying he is the revealer of secrets and I've got to get alone with him and allow him to speak to me because I need personal guidance so I don't mess this up. And as a result, hundreds, maybe thousands were saved. And a king that was godless begins to turn his focus. He's not saved yet. You'll see his salvation. But he begins to turn his focus towards God. And the salvation of these kind of heart cases don't happen in an instant. It's a process of time. But the only way for that to happen is for that man to see a Christian consistently showing great wisdom.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.